You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Illinois has 2.2 million people who identify as Hispanic. That's about 17% of the state's population. And while Illinois is solidly blue this presidential election, both parties and presidential campaigns are working hard in battleground states to win the Hispanic vote. Not to mention politicians competing for Latino votes in more competitive local races in and around Illinois. Joining us now to discuss the issues that Hispanic voters say are important to them and why Hispanic voters are not a monolithic voting bloc in the electorate are two guests. First, we have Jens Manuel Krogstad, a senior editor and researcher at Pew Research and a co-writer of the recent study, Hispanic Voters Say Economy, Healthcare, and COVID-19 Are Top Issues in 2020 Presidential Election. Hello and welcome to the 21st.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And we also have with us Sylvia Puente, president and CEO of the Latino Policy Forum, a nonpartisan Latino public policy and advocacy organization in Illinois. Hello, Sylvia. Thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks for the invitation.
And I should note to listeners, following this conversation, we'll talk to two Hispanic Illinois-based political figures, one from each end of the political spectrum, on their experience appealing to Hispanic voters and why that party's respective party platform is equipped to address issues important to Hispanic voters. Stay tuned for that. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. We've got a lot of ground to cover. So, Jens, I'm going to begin with you. You co-wrote this recent Pew study on the issues important to Hispanic voters. A lot of efforts are being made by the political parties to appeal to those voters. So can you begin by saying how many Hispanics are eligible to vote in this election?
A record 32 million Latinos are projected to be eligible to vote in November. And one thing that's notable about this year is that we expect that for the first time, the number of Latino eligible voters will exceed the number of Black eligible voters for the first time.
Interesting. And so what does your research say about what issues are most important to Latino voters as a group?
When we asked Latino voters to tell us whether certain issues were very important to their vote in the 2020 presidential election, a few issues came to the top. The economy, healthcare, and the coronavirus outbreak were the three most often cited issues. 80% of Latino voters said the economy, 76% said healthcare, and 72% said the coronavirus outbreak.
And that's pretty similar to what just the sort of overall U.S. population of adults ranks as, at least among the top three or four issues, right?
Yeah, in terms of the ranking and which ones were cited most often, they were similar to U.S. registered voters overall. But there were some differences between Hispanic and U.S. voters. One notable difference was in the percentage of Latino voters who cited the coronavirus outbreak, 72%. And for U.S. Adult voters overall, it was only 62%. So it was 10 percentage points lower.
So, Sylvia, we know that Latinos are not a monolithic voter bloc. I mean, for example, Cubans in Miami might have very different political leanings than, say, Mexicans or Puerto Ricans in other cities. I wonder, why is it important, you know, or what is important to consider when thinking about, you know, the so-called Latino vote as a group?
Well, I'd say a couple things. I think one of the things that's really essential is that there needs to be outreach by both parties to the Latino community. And I think most would agree that that outreach has been focused maybe a little bit more in the battleground states with specific outreach to Latino voters, but really hasn't been as significant as we would like. There have been other surveys that have asked Latinos, has either party reached out to you to get your perspective or to ask for your vote? And the majority of Latinos say no. I also wanted to comment for a second on what Jens pointed out in the significant difference between the number of Latinos that said that the COVID crisis was a concern versus all voters. And really, I think it's important for your listeners to understand the magnitude of the COVID crisis across the country and here in the state of Illinois. Other surveys have shown that nearly half of Latinos know someone who has or had COVID. And this is significantly higher than the general population. Here in our home state, my organization, the Latino Policy Forum, has done analysis that shows, and all this is coming from the publicly available data from our Illinois Department of Public Health, that fewer than 1% of whites and Asians know someone who has had COVID. About 2% of African Americans, I'm sorry, not know someone, but fewer than 1% of whites and Asians have had COVID. 2% of African Americans in our state have had COVID, and 3% of Latinos have had COVID. And it's as high as 5% in some of our Latino, higher in the Latino community. And one of the reasons why there's obviously such concern is reflected in the survey that Jen just spoke about.
Yeah, and just if listeners heard a little interruption there, the Zoom connection was a little in and out, but I think we got your main thrust of your point about COVID-19 being such a huge issue in the Latino community and how disproportionately Latinos have experienced COVID-19, as have African Americans. But as you're saying, it's even higher. Can you talk about, as we heard from Jens, about the economy, healthcare, COVID-19, from the economy and healthcare point, which I guess are related, you know, how are those issues affecting Latino populations in Illinois right now, and why would they be considered so important beyond COVID-19, as you've just said?
Well, Latinos are falling into two camps with respect to COVID. They're either essential workers, or they've become unemployed, because we know that so many Latinos have worked in the hospitality industry and the service industry, jobs that are where the industry and the restaurants and all have closed, and many of those jobs are not going to come back. So along with the disproportionate impact of the number of Latinos who have had COVID in Illinois, we know, and we worked with a group that basically has told us that 2/3 of Latinos have either lost wages or are unemployed in the state of Illinois as a direct result of COVID. So obviously, if you're not able to, if you're sick, you're not able to work. But if you're working in an industry that's been dramatically impacted by COVID, as we know so many have, we see Latinos working in those industries. And I'm concerned that not only are they unemployed, but that many of those jobs are not going to come back. And it's really a question of where the newly unemployed are going to be able to earn a living for their families.
Mm-hmm. And we do need to take a break in about a minute and a half here. I'd like to ask you both to stick around, though. But Jens, I do want to make one just sort of like a data housekeeping point here. I think we've been using, I see in your report from Pew, it talks about Hispanic voters, but it also references Latino voters. Can you just briefly educate us on, you know, the distinction between Hispanic and Latino, and maybe, you know, why you might or might not want to use those terms interchangeably in this context?
Sure, that's a great question. It's true that a lot of different people of Hispanic origin have different preferences for terms. For our reports, because there's a diversity of views in this, we use Hispanic and Latino interchangeably. However, it's worth noting that the most common preference for Latinos is their country of origin, and next highest is Hispanic, but still a substantial share of Latinos prefer the term Latino. And so there's a mix of preferences, and we use Hispanic and Latino interchangeably in our reports. And so if you hear me say those two terms, that's why.
And there's also a newly emerging term of Latinx, which is still somewhat controversial and hasn't caught on. It's caught on, I would say, more among the younger generation than certainly my generation, which is a baby boomer generation. So even within the Latino community, I think we're still having this dialogue around what do we name and call ourselves.
Yeah, and I need to, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Please stick around. Yeah. I do want to carry this over for just a few minutes after the break. And I should say to listeners, we are having an entire conversation specifically on Latinx, Latino, Latina, and some of this language, evolving language of this demographic. More in this conversation coming up after a short break. This is The 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about Latino voters, Hispanic voters, and in this first part of the conversation, which we'll be wrapping soon, we've been speaking with Jens Manuel Krogstad, who's a researcher at Pew and co-writer of the study Hispanic Voters Say Economy, Healthcare, and COVID-19 Are Top Issues in 2020 Presidential Elections, and also Silvia Puente, who's president and CEO of the Latino Policy Forum, which is a nonpartisan Latino public policy and advocacy organization in Illinois. Sylvia, I want to just, before we wrap up, there are a lot of subsets of the Latino population, including, you know, you have Spanish-speaking parts, predominantly English-speaking parts, and as I mentioned earlier, you know, there's different, depending on what country people might come from, Cubans may have a different perspective than Puerto Ricans, than Mexicans. Can you talk about what political candidates should be cognitive cognizant of when thinking about appealing to Latino voters?
Sure. And I think, you know, the process of the story of Latinos in the United States is the process of many other, similar to the process of many other ethnic groups that have come before us, right? And that there is a process of acculturation and assimilation. And awareness of that, I think, is important to really figure out how to target and approach different groups. So we've got, for example, my nephews, whose last name is Puente, but they're fully assimilated into American society. And my daughter, the same generation, fifth generation American, who is Latina, and what they relate to and how they relate is very different in terms of their Latino identity. So I think there needs to be a sophistication and awareness of that. But I would also say that the largest group of Latino voters today are in fact millennials. And millennials, having been raised in the United States, have the same issues and concerns as all millennials. And with that, I think the same issues, and Latinos in general have the same issues as concerns as all voters, right? So we're concerned about the economy, the healthcare, the COVID crisis, as the Pew analysis reports. But I think that the messaging, the way the message is delivered, who the messenger is, the issues are similar, but it's in the nuance of how the message is delivered and who the messenger is where I think the difference is.
Jens, what about that in your research? Do you see this age differential that Sylvia was mentioning? Is what's important to older Latino voters different than what might be important to members of the younger generation?
Yeah, absolutely. There are some important differences between older Latinos and younger Latinos. Overall, Latinos are younger than other major racial and ethnic groups by quite a bit. And so it is true that the youngest group of Latino eligible voters are millennials, and they tend to be more U.S. born and tend to speak more English than older Latinos. And of course, one of the questions with young eligible voters overall will they turn out to vote in elections? And young Latino voters in general tended to have lower voter turnout rates. And this is true for Latinos overall who have tended to have a lower voter turnout rates than white and black eligible voters.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Jens Manuel Krogstad and Silvia Puente. Jens is from Pew. Silvia Puente is with the Latino Policy Forum for helping us lay the sort of intellectual groundwork for what to think about when considering Latino voters. Thank you so much for joining us today on the 21st.
Thank you. Really appreciate you having us.
Yeah. Thanks. Great to be here.